Amen. Come on. So here we are. We've been looking at Jesus, the servant, and Jesus' suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane the last 2 weeks. And today's about the sovereign king. That's why I wore my purple shirt. It's Palm Sunday. Come on. Palm Sunday, you wear purple. It's royalty. It's royalty day here. Jesus, the sovereign king, triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we're gonna uncover today, what's the big deal about Palm Sunday? What's the big deal with Palm Sunday? Now, I know some of you, you got that religious thing in your mind. Maybe you grew up like I did in Catholic church or some denomination, and you go, oh, Lord, it's another Palm Sunday message. And you're just tuning out. And you're not tuning out. Ushers are going to lock the doors. Come on, we are going to stay with it. We're going to follow along today. That's what we're going to do. Now, how many of you, like maybe you were at a wedding. You know they always do that one like dance at weddings, like who's here been married 15 minutes and 1 hour and 3 days and you got to get sit down. And then there's always one couple, they're about 40 or 50 years, and like you cheer them on, right? And I don't know if you realize this, when I was younger and that would happen, it'd be like, oh, okay, that's nice. It's like, oh, that's nice. But then after being married 35 years, I realized what it takes to stay married 35 years. Come on, somebody, you're right with me. See, a lot of times we clap for things and we don't know what we're clapping for. Am I right? I mean, it's like graduation parties. Somebody graduates high school. And I used to think it was a party for the person graduating high school. It's a party for the parents. Come on, somebody. It's like you didn't hurt them. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, you're like cheering them on. See, sometimes you think you know what you're celebrating, but you're not really celebrating what you think you know you're celebrating. That's a picture of Palm Sunday. That's a picture of the triumphal entry, that there was all these people shouting, Hosanna, and they were shouting this, but they didn't realize what they were shouting for. And I want to help you understand that today. But before we jump into all that, I got to read this verse to you. It's in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8, and it is this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Do you know that while you were still a sinner, Jesus took a risk on you? He took a big risk. Yeah. But a couple verses before that, I'm reading this yesterday and Friday, and my wife said, oh, but you got to read verse 6. And since she's the prophetess in my life, I read verse 6, okay? And it says, but when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. Now I want you to say that with me, just the right time out loud. Just the right time. Oh, man, that's good. If I don't excite you, come on. I'm going to share my Lime Perrier with you. Come on. But come on, I want you to catch this. At just the right time. God is on a different timetable than you are, but at just the right time, he sent Jesus. And we're stopping everything here on what we call Passion Week, Holy Week. And it's a time to remember what Jesus did for us. That at just the right time, everything lined up. And so we have some events of Holy Week. And this is really significant. What I'm about to read to you in Matthew 21 is found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, it's in a lot of chapters here, 26 chapters out of 80-some chapters, it's in there. It's almost a third of the Gospels are written about Holy Week. This is pretty significant. This is a big deal. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four different accounts of the same story. It would be like if I talked to four people, which I did this morning, and about extravaganza that happened here yesterday. Everybody told me something different. One person told me there was meatball hoagies. The rooms and how they were decorated. One person says how many kids were there. One person says how many adults were there. Because it's the same story, but they all cover something different. And this is a really, really big deal. And so about a third is written about Holy Week, Passion Week. Anything that has to do with passion, count me in. No, anything that has to do with passion, count me in. See, wait a minute. Does our passion for God line up with Jesus' passion for us? That's a question. Yeah, so let's look at this. Sunday, there's a triumphal entry. Sunday, here it is, Holy Week. Jesus going in, and we're going to read this story. Then on Monday, this is the part where, like, have you ever heard the story where Jesus overturns tables, throws chairs? How many of you like that, Jesus? Come on, yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah. I could just see the disciples, yeah, we're with him. Yeah, right? Come on. Yeah, he's clearing out the temple, getting rid of all that stuff. And Tuesday's almost like connection group day. It's like small group day. Because there's a lot of teachings on Tuesday. There's a lot of discussions he has with small groups. It's like almost like, that's what it is. But Wednesday's an interesting one here. He rested in Bethany. And it's a day where there's not a lot written about Wednesday, but it's an interesting day. Because it's the day that Judas, one of his followers, agrees to betray him. I want to pause for a moment. In Jesus, the creator of the universe, knew that somebody was going to betray him. And it was the day he was the quietest. This shows you the contrast that he does not think like you and me. Because if I knew somebody was going to betray me and I was about to give my life for them, I don't think that would be my quietest day. How about you? I'm being honest with you. I've wrestled with this all week. I'm like, Jesus, how are you so quiet? It's because he knew something else was bigger here. And then on Thursdays, the Last Supper, and Jesus washes the disciples' feet, the Garden of Gethsemane. A significant things happen on Thursday. And then on Friday, the crucifixion, one of the most horrible, gruesome deaths ever known. And on Saturday, Jesus in the grave. Jesus in the grave. It's a day that Jesus wars on our behalf. And it's a day that we're waiting. And I'm here to tell you today, I believe there's many people in this room right now that you're in the middle of a war and a wait. It feels like God's silent and it feels like he's still in the grave. But I want to tell you this, that Sunday's coming and he's about to get resurrected from the dead. Come on, somebody. And what's so significant about this, in Jewish culture, they would take a lamb and the lamb would be inspected for 4 days. To make sure that the lamb was pure and it was a pure sacrifice. The same thing happened with Jesus beginning on Sunday to Thursday. He was questioned, he was examined, and found to be the pure, holy sacrifice for you and me. See, the Bible has so many more significant things in it than we realize. That he was reflecting something out of the Old Testament, out of actually the book of Exodus, way back when. And it started, and he's reflecting that here and now. Jesus is fulfilling stuff that took place 1,000+ years before that. Hundreds and hundreds of years before that. It was talked about. That's what's so significant about Passion Week here. This is it here. And so this Friday night, I want to personally invite you to come to our Good Friday Remembrance. We're going to have one at 5 and then one at 7. And there's going to be a whole presentation you walk through, which will be all about Christ, the Passover Lamb. And we're going to have Rabbi Ned Puro, which grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home. So he comes with a totally different mindset. But he's a messianic believer, believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and came for all mankind. And so he's going to communicate Christ in the Passover. Everybody present is going to get a box that's going to remind you of the Passover feast. I'm not going to get into that, but you got to come. Okay? I can't help you if you're not there, all right? All right, we're not going to deliver one of those boxes to your home. Come on. Okay? But there's so much going on here in this story, and so I don't want us to miss Jesus, the sovereign King, the one. These Starburst jelly beans are distracting me. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Matthew 21. I say all that to Matthew 21, verse 1. Here we go. You ready for the story? Are you ready here? Okay. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Now, I want to tell you this, that listen, if Jesus knows exactly where the mama donkey and a baby donkey are, he knows where you live too. Come on, somebody. Okay, he knows where you live too. Yeah, he does. I mean, he knows every detail. Come on. And so it's all lining up here. It's all lining up. He's coming into Jerusalem, and this is a big deal. He knows because in Matthew 16, Five chapters earlier, he's saying, I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to like give him, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. He knows what's going to happen. But he's going into Jerusalem here at a significant moment at just the right time. At just the right time here. And there's two animals, and not every all the Gospels get the two animals right here. And this is why some people say, well, the Bible is wrong. One person says there was two donkeys. Another person says there was one. Well, this is the case. Well, traditionally, if one young donkey was never been ridden before, the mama donkey would go with the baby donkey because literally it would calm that donkey because it never had anybody riding it before, and especially with this big parade going on. See, there's logical explanations when you look at the Word of God and you study it in context to what it really is. Now, see, many people, I've talked to people, and they say, well, there's two donkeys, one donkey. They let their whole faith get shipwrecked over a donkey. Come on. No, I'm serious, and I'm not making fun of that. What I'm saying is if you dig in, you can find the answer. There's an answer. You know, not everybody told me exactly what happened yesterday at Extravaganza, but it happened. All right. Now, by faith, because I look at the results, I know it happened, even though I didn't see it with my own eyes. I'm trying to help your faith this morning. And so here we have, so there's two donkeys there lined up, and he chooses to go into Jerusalem a new way. In verse 3, red letters, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Zechariah 9:9, remember that, Zechariah 9:9. He's quoting Zechariah in the Old Testament 450, 500 years before that. Okay, he's communicating. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foil of a beast of burden here. Timing is everything. This donkey, Jesus is coming humble, unassuming, but he came at just the right time. This is very odd because typically Jesus, every time he did a miracle, he shushed people. Have you ever been shushed? Okay, like that offering that I talked to you about earlier, shh, I'm shushing you right now. Jesus literally said, don't tell nobody. Don't tell anybody about it because it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time. But now is the right time. See, earlier in John, there's verses in John, Jesus saying, it's not time yet. It's not time. So don't, and they're saying, come on, Jesus, if you're going to do something great, do something great. It's not time. But then later in the Gospel of John, he says, time's coming. I want to let you know that timing is everything, and God is always on time. He's just not on your time. He's not on my time. But he's always on time. So he works through these things. That's what he does. He's working through them. The time for what? Come on, have you ever waited for something to happen? Come on, have you ever waited for something? It's like I was talking about graduation earlier. How many of y'all remember to graduate high school? Yeah, then you got out and you just wanted to be an adult, right? Did you? Okay, and then once you're an adult, you're like, man, I wish I could go back. Come on, somebody, yeah. Right, am I right? You want something, it's like, I'm not sure what I want. Yeah, either you do or you don't. And so there's a timing thing on here. And Jesus is lining up everything for the timing. In verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. Oh, you should underline that one. They did what he directed them. And when we do what he directs us, good things happen. Great things happen. Yeah, so they did. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them. That's like a fancy word for coats, outer garments. And he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others cut branches. They cut branches and they the trees, and they spread them on the road. Oh, Palm Sunday. No, so this would have been a common leaf that they had, and they laid these down along with their coats. They put them on here to pay homage, to be honorable to him. Now I want to explain something to you. In biblical times, It was very common that when a dignitary came to town, that everybody would typically go outside of the gates, go outside of the walls, and they would greet the dignitary with a parade or with a shout or with, you know, in a way honoring. So this wasn't completely new to them. Many times we think, well, that Jesus instituted this. No, actually you see it actually in 2 Kings, King Jehu. They actually laid down their coats. They laid things down to pay honor to the king and all. See, so they took off their coats and they took these palm leaves and they laid them down there. Now, let's read verse 9. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They were shouting Psalm 118, 26. Come on, save now! Save us, Lord. Deliver us, God. Jesus typically would go quietly into towns. Today, he decides like a 4th of July parade. Literally, I mean, this is completely in contrast, completely different than what he normally would do. And that they would lay them down. And see, could you imagine? Could you imagine Pilate going to Pilate going, because there was a lot of soldiers in town. There was a lot of soldiers, and there was a lot of people in town. Pontius Pilate was there, because there would have been upwards to 1 million people there. And so he was there to keep control of things. And so could you imagine him going, like one of the soldiers coming, "We want to report to you about the parade." "Well, what about the parade?" He says, "Well, who's this king?" "Jesus." "Well, what kind of soldiers does he have?" "Men, women, children shouting, 'Hosanna.'" "Well, what kind of war horse does he have?" "A baby donkey." "Where's his battle flag?" "Palms." Are you tracking me now? There are so many contrasts of Palm Sunday. I want you to catch this. There are so many. The contrast, catch these. That it's totally against our normal thinking. Jesus came as a lowly servant, not as a "look at me." He rode a donkey, not a war horse. He didn't come with royal robes. He came riding on the poor and the humble robes that were laid down in front of him. Not a conqueror by force, but one that conquered with love and grace and mercy. Not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but servanthood and suffering. Jesus came not to conquer nations, but he came to conquer hearts, minds. His message was peace with God, not temporal deliverance. You see, those people, you know what they really wanted? They wanted Jesus to overthrow the Roman government. They wanted Jesus to overthrow the Roman government and the oppression. They wanted temporal deliverance. And Jesus came to give them peace. He came to deliver them. On Passover, they were all gathering together to remember a deliverance that happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. But in reality, he came with a deliverance that we could never get on our own. The death on the cross. The resurrection. This is what the Passion Week is all about. This is it. And so on Palm Sunday, we're recognizing all these things here. We're recognizing these contrasts. We're recognizing what he really did as a royal king. And so Matthew 21, 10 and 11, and when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, "Who is this?" Who is this? Do you know what people that you work with are really asking right now? Who is this Jesus? Do you know what your neighbors, the people that live in your neighborhood, in your apartment building, who work with you, your friends, your family that are far from God, do you know what they're really asking right now? They're asking, who is this Jesus? I believe that there's never been a time like we've been alive right now where people are asking, who is this? Come on, they're asking, who is this? And I want to tell you this, that you and I got the answer. It's Jesus, the Messiah. It's the only way to have peace in your life, not temporal deliverance. We don't need a deliverance from the Republicans or Democrats. We need a deliverance from sin. And Jesus, the party of the Lamb. And so today, and when you leave here, what's the big deal that in this week, you're going to have the opportunity to invite everybody you know, because they're asking deep down, who is this? And what we're going to say is, this is the prophet Jesus. And all we're asking you to do is take the invites on your seats and invite everybody you know. I've been inviting everybody I know. I shared this a while back. There's a man, it took me 18 months. Actually, Pastor Gary shared Jesus with him before I did. He's an atheist, said, don't try to proselytize me. It's never going to happen. About three weeks ago today, he came to me and started asking me questions about church and God. And I invited him to church, and then he came that next day. It screwed up everything. I said, you're supposed to wait till Easter, and he came anyhow. I just messed him up my thing. And I had a chance to talk to him, and he didn't cross the bridge yet, but he's going to. Because you're going to bow here or there. You decide where. But we get the opportunity in the next 7 days to point to Jesus. This is him. Will you help us in inviting everybody you know? Will you take the cards off the seats when people are saying, who is this Jesus? Because in our world right now, people don't know who he is. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion about churches. There's a lot of confusion about who he is. And listen, I don't have all the answers, but I know the answer. And I know that together we can find the answer together. His name is Jesus. By which we cry out, save me and save me now. Heal us and deliver us, oh God. That's the message. If you're willing this week to have a triumphal entry of Jesus into your heart, into your life, this is what I want you to do. And you're just saying, you know what, I want Holy Week to be real to me this week. If you've listened to anything this morning that was helpful to you and encouraging to you, would you just stand to your feet right now? Just that's all you're doing. You're saying something was helpful. That's all you're saying. You're not agreeing to anything else. Just something was helpful. I saw something I didn't see before. Oh, that's all you're agreeing to. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're here today to say, oh man, save me now. Save me, Lord. And Lord God, I pray, Father, Lord God, that in every heart right now that you want to do a triumphal entry into, that you would do a great work right now into their hearts. Heavenly Father, do a great work. You know, if you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time, Jesus entered Jerusalem on the Sunday before he was crucified. There was a day, there was a time, there was a moment. If you don't have a day, a time, or a moment that you know, you ask Jesus to forgive you. That means Savior. Be the one who saves you. Not your good works, not your past, your parents, you. And you ask him to be the king of your life, the one in charge of your life. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time, I want to invite you to make today your moment. March 24th. 11:01, Sunday morning is your moment right now. Palms are sweaty, hearts pounding, and I know that God is speaking to many people here. You've never felt this before. You've never heard this before, but Jesus wants to make a triumphal entry into your heart. If that's you right now, I just want you simply just to slip up your hand so we can pray for you. That's all you're agreeing to. I want today to be my day. Just proudly, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. That's me today. Come on. That's me today. I got to have my day with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anybody at all here today, thank you, God. And Lord God, I pray, Father, that next week this place is going to be flooded with people. Flooded with people. God, we pray for 10 people next week to meet you in a real way. God, I'm agreeing right now for 10 people right now to cross the bridge into our hearts in Jesus' name. At the end of that processional into Jerusalem, in Luke 19, it says that Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He said, "How I wish today that all of you people would understand the way to peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. For us who are followers of Jesus, we have this great and awesome way that we know. Hosanna, deliver us now. Deliver us, O God." What we're going to do today is this. In just a moment, the worship team is going to lead us into a song that we're going to worship God together. And we're going to all come out of our seats and come into the middle, and you're going to walk down, and you're going to pick up one of these palms. And then you're going to keep singing. You're going to walk out the sides and go back to your seats. And we're all going to stand together, and we're going to worship God together. We're going to honor God together. Now, I know some of you, this brings back a lot of religious memories. I'll be honest, with me today, I was coming here today going, man, I was trying to remember how to fold it in a cross. I don't know, gee. Because I remember, as soon as we got in the car, my dad, he would just fold it in a cross and put one in the car and then put another one. You always had a picture of Jesus in your house, a holy picture. And you'd always put that there because that protected your house. So I want to let you know, these are symbols. They can't protect you, but they can remind you. How many of y'all need reminded? See, that's why on Good Friday, we do a service of remembrance. It's the only time of the year we say it's a service, it's a time to remember. And so maybe you're going to take yours, and you have take it too, and I want all these to go. And you're going to lay it and maybe on your table at home. And every night at dinner time, you're going to talk about Holy Week. Every night, you can talk about Holy Week and what took place that night, that day. Every day, you remind yourself, and you can talk over dinner with your kids and you. And if you're alone, I'll FaceTime somebody. Okay, FaceTime somebody. Have a talk with them about God and who He is. Come on, will you do that? Yeah. Or maybe you could just take this as a memory and put it in the car as you drive and you can pray. There's no mystical power with this, but it's a way to remember what Jesus did in His triumphal entry as a sovereign king into Jerusalem. And so we're going to remember today. So they're going to lead us. And we're all going to sing real loud. Okay, y'all ready to sing? And we're going to worship God. So when you get back to your seats, don't you sit down. We're going to worship God together. So you lead us. We're going to follow.